The reading is from the Gospel according to Mark and is to be found on page 1007. That's page 1007 in your church Bibles, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and lived." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed round him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she would freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can still ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher any more?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha ka'umi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Thank you, Colin, very much indeed. Please keep that passage open, and I'm going to read to you verse 34. Jesus said to the woman, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Let's begin with a prayer as we ask God to speak to us through this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that we've been seeing about the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark's Gospel. And we pray that you would speak to each one of us afresh this morning. Help us to see more clearly who Jesus is, and help us to understand how we can follow him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as with last week, we're going to start with a question. And the question is this: can faith ever be a private matter? Now, a couple of years ago, the Pope called into question Donald Trump's faith. Now, I hesitate to mention his name, and that will bring all sorts of controversy. But actually, Donald Trump claims to be a Christian, and a couple of other politicians, in fact, from the other side of the political divide, ran to his defense saying, I think that his faith is between him and his creator. I don't think that we need to discuss that. In other words, it's not really a journalist's right to find out about a president's faith or a religious leader as well. Can faith ever just be a private matter between us and God? Does it matter if my faith only stretches as far as coming to church on a particular Sunday, perhaps particularly on a Remembrance Sunday, but it doesn't stretch into my workplace or into my friendship groups or at the party with friends? Can faith ever be a private matter? And I think this passage shows us that it can't. We've been working through four amazing stories that show us Jesus's power over what I call the four D's. So do you remember a couple of weeks ago with Andrew Satch, we saw Jesus's power over disaster, and that was the storm on the lake. Then we saw Jesus's power over the devil with Legion and Jesus casting those evil spirits into the pigs. Now we've got two passages intertwined, which is why we're doing them over 2 weeks. And we have disease, the third D, which we see today, and death, Jairus' daughter that we particularly looked at last week. And last week we focused particularly on this story from Jairus' perspective, and today we're going to focus on this story particularly from this woman's perspective. Now, we're going to split this story into two parts, roughly the first half and the second half. And under each one, we're going to see, first of all, this woman's personal faith, and then how that became more public. And as we do so, I pray that we'll see that our faith can never be a private matter, that Jesus wants to grow our personal faith into public faith. So first of all, personal faith, and I've called this personal faith in a powerful king. Let's look at verse 24. So we've just seen Jesus with Jairus, and then Jairus' story is put on hold. Verse 24b, a large crowd followed and pressed round Jesus. We've seen crowds again and again in the book of Mark. And then in verse 25 and 26, we see six different details that show us the situation that the woman was in. There's the crowd. And then here's the woman. Six things about this woman as she then launches herself into the crowd to touch Jesus. Verse 25, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding. So this is what seems to be a gynecological illness, which no doubt was very distressing. A woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. This had been going on for over a decade, a chronic long-term illness. And, next bit, she had suffered a great deal. There's no doubt about that. But she'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. That word care should almost be in inverted commas, shouldn't it? The doctors had taken her money, but they hadn't given her any cure. She had spent all that she had. Perhaps she's unmarried, and so this is her own money. Or perhaps she's spent her family's money. But the situation has grown worse. Instead of getting better, she grew worse. The so-called cures were as bad as the disease. So, like those other three stories, this is a situation of absolute impossibility. All of these stories show an impossible situation, but a super impossible situation, if you like. A storm, but a storm that petrifies fishermen that know that lake like the back of their hand. Not just a man with evil spirits, but thousands of evil spirits and great destructive force. Not just a dying daughter, but a dead daughter. Not just an illness, but one that's apparently incurable. The Bible is so honest, isn't it, that we live in a broken world. And it's so honest that there are answers to this brokenness as well. But no doubt this was a horrendous situation, and this would have affected every area of her life. So she would have been socially ostracized because she was, in Jewish thinking, she was unclean, which meant that she couldn't touch others for fear of the uncleanness going to them. She was religiously ostracized because she wouldn't have therefore been able to go to the temple to pray or to be with other believers. And relationally, this would have affected her chance of marriage, having children, and in those days, therefore, security as well. But the most impossible situations are not impossible for King Jesus, the Messiah. And this woman comes to the right person for help. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak. Whereas all the others, they're kind of interested in Jesus, they're crowding around him, but none of them come with faith towards him. But this woman does. She has confidence, a bit like Jairus, that Jesus is the one that can do something. And sure enough, there is an amazing miracle. Verse 28, she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. This is an instantaneous miracle, because just like the lake being stilled straight away, she was instantly cured. It was a permanent miracle because her bleeding stopped, and it was a liberating miracle. Jesus, I've called this sermon, Jesus the King who sets us free. And this woman was freed from literally her torment. The word is the same word that's used of a whip suffering in verse 29. So it's a picture of the complete and instantaneous healing that comes from Jesus when a sinner comes to Jesus and reaches out to him in faith. He's an incredibly powerful king. Personal faith in a powerful king. Mark is telling us that Jesus can be none other than the promised Messiah that we've been longing for, the rescuer sent from God, God walking on earth. Only God could do these things. And it's a beautiful picture for the woman, and actually it's a beautiful picture for us. And this leads to our lesson, really, for today, which I put at the top of the screen there. Come to King Jesus with personal faith. We need to do, as it were, in our hearts what she did physically, which is to come to Jesus, to trust him, to turn to him in our hour of need. One writer says of this story, the saviour of the Christian is always set before us as gentle, easy to call on, the helper of the brokenhearted, the refuge of the weak and helpless, the comforter of the distressed, the sick person's best friend. Can I ask you this morning, if you're suffering in mind or body at this stage, today, even now, do you know Jesus as the sick person's best friend? You can come to Jesus. You can talk to him about whatever is on your mind. You can speak to him. You can reach out and touch him. He has power to heal us in this life. And sometimes he uses ordinary means like doctors and nurses and medics and psychologists, which is why we pray for the doctors and nurses in our congregation. Sometimes he might even use extraordinary means like supernatural healing, which is why we pray for those in our congregation who are struggling with sickness. But even if he chooses not to heal us in this life, we can trust that there's a new heaven and a new earth coming where there will be no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death or disease. This is where I'm afraid I differ with some of my Christian brothers and sisters who say that if you have enough faith, then Jesus will certainly heal you physically in this life. But I don't think that Jesus promises that. In fact, in this gospel, we see Jesus underplaying physical healing because he came to preach a message of forgiveness of sins, which, of course, is the real foundation behind the problem. It's sin that brought chaos and sickness and death into our world. And all of us need to come to Jesus for this deeper issue. Yet we can still call on him with our physical issues as well. And we need simply to reach out to him in faith. Let's not be like the others in the crowd that were interested in Jesus, were even close to Jesus, but never personally reached out and asked for his help. Come personally in faith to Jesus as your King and your Saviour. But though faith must be personal, it cannot be private. And that's what we see next in the second half of this passage. So if the first half is personal faith in a powerful king, we now move on to public faith in a wonderful king. So let's look at this second half and down to verse 30. At once, that's the same word in verse 29 that starts immediately. So we could reread these verses. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. That's what she immediately felt. But immediately Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. There's an immediate response from her and an immediate response from Jesus. Jesus can feel straight away that someone has come to him in faith and sought to receive something from him. And this sets in motion a very tense scene with increasing tension. Jesus turns around, verse 30, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd. He often turns around and looks at people in Mark's gospel. And he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, from the disciples' perspective, he's missed something obvious. We acted this out last week, didn't we? We had all the kids around Jesus, and they were all touching him. And so it's very surprising when Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" Because, of course, dozens of people were touching him. But that doesn't put Jesus off. Jesus knows when someone comes to him. It's actually very reassuring, isn't it? Jesus knows when someone comes to him, even with a mustard seed of faith. Verse 32, Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then verse 33, the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told the whole truth. Verse 33, this woman is terrified. It's not for the first time that people are more terrified of Jesus after he's done something amazing. Because when we understand how big Jesus is, he's actually scary in his purity and in his fearfulness, you could say. But she need not be afraid because Jesus is so tender and so kind. But she's thinking, "Oh no, what have I done? Here's this rabbi and I've made him unclean. And now I need to own up to it. I thought that I could stay private. I thought that I could take something, as it were, without asking. And now he's calling me out in front of everyone." It's always painful, isn't it, when you're called in front of a crowd and everyone stands back and they're looking at you. Jesus stops the whole show and he calls her out into the open. And on top of that, she's now delaying Jairus from getting with Jesus to a dying and now even dead daughter. So it's a situation of huge tension. What's Jesus going to say? Is he going to be angry with her? Is he now become unclean? No, no, no. Uncleanness doesn't travel to Jesus. Cleanness travels from Jesus. And I just love that little phrase at the end of verse 33. She told him the whole truth. It all tumbles out. She just, honestly, she's there on her knees. And out comes the whole story. Just like we can tell our whole story to Jesus. He knows everything. We can speak it to him. Must have felt so painful for her, but actually it's liberating, because of course Jesus already knows her story. Jesus already knows who it was, and he's looking for us to come to him. And far from being angry, he's full of compassion. And Jesus's response is so kind, which is why I've called this public faith in a wonderful king. Just look at the verse 34. He said to her, "Daughter." Now just pause on that word alone. Remember Jairus with his daughter? Remember how much Jairus loves his 12-year-old daughter? Does Jesus love this woman any less, with all her problems, with all her social ostracism, being cut off from others? No, daughter. He loves her. and he's full of compassion for her. Daughter, your faith has healed her. He's not angry, he's reassuring her. He's showing that it's not about just touching his garments, it's about coming to him. It's about Jesus and his power. She already knew that he was powerful, but now she learns two more things. She learns his knowledge, that he knows when someone comes to him. And most of all, she learns his kindness. He's full of compassion and reassurance for her, and he sends her away in peace. It's a beautiful story. It's a story that magnifies Jesus' power and his wonder. And it's a story that shows that Jesus wants to grow our faith from simply a personal and private thing into a public thing. And that's why we too need to learn this lesson. Come to King Jesus with public faith in a wonderful King. Maybe we won't see just how wonderful Jesus is if we aren't, as it were, a little bit called out into the open. I think this is why baptism is so important. If you're a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, well, it's right that we get you baptized, and we look forward to doing that. The New Testament expects that a disciple of Jesus will go public in their faith before their friends and before their family and before their Christian family and declare their faith publicly, as we saw Joe doing a couple of weeks ago. But maybe for you, you're not yet convinced that Jesus is the King, and you're not living as if he's your King. Well, does it help that each of these four stories are in the public eye and everyone can see what's going on? The storm with other boats, Legion with other people watching, Jairus with witnesses brought in to see that she's really alive. And in this story today, we see that this is done in front of a crowd. This is not something hidden away. This actually happened in front of witnesses. And the very public nature of her being brought out into the open actually helps us to see that this is true. Why not consider doing the Christianity Explored course? And I've got a flyer here somewhere. Hopefully we're going to do this in the new year. And it's a DVD-based course that looks at Mark's Gospel in a little bit more detail. Why not sign up for that if that's you and you know that you need to take things a bit more deeply? But for those of us who've already been convinced that Jesus is the King, Jesus wants to grow our faith from personal to public. I wonder if anyone has seen the film Ezio Trot. Dan, I might need your help. That's it. There's a little tortoise there. Has anyone seen the film or read the book Ezio Trot? Ezio Trot is the name tortoise backwards. And it's the wonderful story of an elderly gentleman who is growing his next door neighbor's tortoises because he loves them. They grow from small to large. And you might want to have a look at that story someday. Jesus, in his love for us, wants to call us out into the open and to grow our faith. He's not content with us just simply being private Christians. And so he wants us to grow from personal to public faith. Although perhaps the tortoise isn't a very good analogy for faith. We'll put a hand there instead as we come to Jesus and receive from him. Because believing is receiving. It's not about doing anything special of ourselves. It's about receiving Jesus. It's about coming to him. And so perhaps in this coming week, Jesus is going to do what he did for this woman to us. And perhaps there'll be an opportunity at work or amongst our friends or neighbours where we get called out into the open, as it were. Don't feel threatened by that. Don't feel that it will be an uncomfortable thing, though of course it might feel like that. It might feel like a cruel thing as Jesus brings us out into the open. But perhaps like me at a kids' party last weekend, where I started chatting to a lady and she said that she was a pagan and follows different spirits and gods and goddesses. I said, oh, that's very interesting. I'm a vicar. And we had quite an interesting chat. But I felt very brought out into the open because there I was with all sorts of other mums and dads from the party sitting around. And there I was in full glare of everyone doing my vicar bit and being known to be a Christian. But perhaps it'll be parapet time, as one pastor puts it, for each of us this week. Maybe at some point this week, we'll have to stick our head above the parapet and take our faith from being private and personal to being public. Jesus wants to grow our faith. It'll be uncomfortable. It'll be slightly scary. But actually, in that process, as it was for this woman, we'll see more powerfully who Jesus is and how wonderful he is. Because as we step out and as we declare our faith to others, actually, we have a better grasp of who Jesus is. Can faith ever be a private matter? I think this passage tells us that it can't. Jesus is a powerful king, so powerful, but so wonderful as well. Let's stand up for him. Should we pray together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we admit that it can be hard to be public about our faith. And we know, Lord, each of us, ways in which we're tempted to hide our light under a bucket. But we see in this passage how Jesus is unwilling for someone just to come privately to him, but brings her into the open and wonderfully reassures her and shows himself to her even more. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would enable us to be public in our faith and that we would see wonderful things flowing out of that as others come to know Jesus and his power and his wonder. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.